We're going to be in Mark again today with our usual Jesus in action. And so we'll be in Mark 4 today, and we'll be in Mark 4 next week and the week after, and then we'll start our journey through Advent in the book of Isaiah. So let's stand together and read from God's word in Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. Let's read together today. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale, and the wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much the boat was already filling up. Was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you. You may be seated. We're sitting and standing a lot today, aren't we? Sit down. No stand. Sit down. We're going to talk about rip currents. How do we avoid a rip current? Now, we usually think of waves as washing stuff on the beach, right? We think of waves on the ocean as crashing and bringing in seaweed and bringing in the shells and all kinds of ocean debris. But sometimes the waves hit the beach in a certain way that creates a current that flows from the beach. The waves are crashing so hard on the beach that they're forcing the waves back out from the beach. That's called a rip current. And they're common, formed by really strong winds, which are caused by storms out in the sea, pushing that water towards the shore. Now, these strong channels of water then force water away from the shore. And what happens is you get caught up in this rip current. It can move you about 8 feet per second if you're not aware that there's a rip current next to you. And that same can be true when living a Christian life. We, as believers, don't have to swim in the ocean to feel and experience a kind of strength, that kind of power, and that kind of pull of a spiritual rip current. And we face a totally different kind of power each day. A day that tugs and pulls and lures us away from the safety of our shoreline. Just like that rip current in the ocean. And it draws us away from our safety, from our security in God. And these currents result in the storms that develop in our own lives. And avoiding the disaster of rip current is much like our Christian walk. When you visit the beach, when you live on the beach, you're always told, be careful. You're told that first step when you're in rip current is to remain calm. And don't panic, because that rip current won't always take you under, but it will pull you away and it will take you out. And the best way to survive a rip current is to stay afloat and to call for help. And that same holds true in our spiritual walk. That same holds true in our spiritual storm currents. We're to do all we can to stay above the water and cry out for help, keeping our eyes on the security of that shoreline. That's where we find our stability. So why start with something so distressing when it comes to a sermon? Well, we have a choice. We have a choice in that moment when we're caught in that rip current. And those currents are caused, again, by those storms that just pop up. And those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can do just that. We can trust, we can lean in, we can rely on the promises of God. Or we can struggle and we can complain and beat against the current and become both physically and emotionally exhausted. There are circumstances beyond our control that can happen at a moment's notice. They can approach completely and unwillingly, unexpected, and threaten to change the course in our lives. And we find that we can't always turn to that someone in our most challenging situations. It's fear. It's fear that grips our heart And it grips us in those once peaceful waters that we like to swim in become very turbulent. And today, we're going to review the event, not the story, the actual event in the book of Mark of Jesus calming the storm. And the goal in sailing through these scriptures and this passage is to help heighten the truth that no matter how violent the storm, and no matter the size of the waves that we're facing, our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hope lies in him who's in control and promises to rescue each one of us who just call on his name. So we'll start with the first outline. The first passage, and we'll call it the stability of the calm before the storm. The stability of the calm before the storm. On that same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." So leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. Now, while we see the humanity of Jesus Christ displayed here as he's tired, right? And he needs rest, and it's possibly that he's looking for some refueling or a break from the preaching that he's just done all day, not just on land, but in the boat. One might reason his primary cause for going out on that lake was to prepare to show his authority through his teaching, his power over those storms. The disciples, remember, many of them were lifetime fishermen, led Jesus in the boat, which would have probably held about 15 people. And mentioning other disciples entering the boats around him is not insignificant, but I believe it's here to indicate one thing, that Jesus was about to perform a miracle and he wanted a lot of witnesses to watch what happened. And then when Jesus entered the boat, we can assume that there were no weather issues because it says the storm began after he was in the boat. But let's look beyond those specifics. When I look at scripture, and we always look at scripture, we've all heard the story, the event of Jesus calming the storm in the boat. But I couldn't get past these four words this time. And I've read this story and I've done this event all that I can, but there's four words that I got stuck on for a few days. They left the crowd, they took him just as he was. Just as he was. That was a struggle to dive deep into scripture and pray through. What does that mean? That's not written for anything else than what is, we have to research that. Just as he was in our lives, it shouldn't always be how we want Jesus to be. What if we approached every situation in life, every circumstance, ready and willing to become fully dependent on Jesus Christ? Instead of taking and fitting Jesus Christ and molding him into what we want to make of him through our circumstances, would your storms look different? What if we were to recognize the calmness before our storms as a surrender, as a constant? What if we simply took Jesus as he was? Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus walked the earth as a human being and could only be at one place at a time. And although he was able to work miracles, his reach was limited to that position, the direction in which he was placed, which he put himself. But now Jesus has risen from the dead in our lives, and he's ascended into heaven, and all that has changed. And today, Jesus is not just present in one place. Jesus is present in all places where we are, right? So today, we are his hands and his feet, and we are sent to accomplish his work as he works through each of us. Now, working in every believer through the Holy Spirit, I'd say that Jesus is even more present today, right? Even more present today than he was when he walked the earth. I mean, Jesus is literally present right here and right now. He is always with us because he tells us this, "I am with you always, even until the end of the world." What am I getting at? Like the disciples in this story, we need to decide how to handle the calm seas. How we handle the calm seas and how we navigate through the peaks of the blessings that come during the peace in our lives. The storm that we're approaching in this passage, in this scripture, it's real and it's terrifying. In fact, we've read the disciples believe that they're going to die, that they're not going to survive. But the point is not just surviving the storm or maintaining life through the storm. The point is about who is in the boat with them and who is in the boat with us. Yes, Jesus came to calm the storms. He came to calm the storms in our lives when they come. And that's amazingly true. And I'm incredibly encouraged by that. But Jesus didn't come to calm our storms. Jesus came to save our souls. Amen? And when they come, and they will come, it's at that point we need to know before we get to the next point, before that next storm approaches, that will come. And it's not where you face the enemy. It's the point at which you meet God. It's the point that you face Jesus Christ. But what's also important before the storm is the stability of the calmness in our own lives. Where is that we find peace? Where do we find peace in the calms of our storm? Where is it that we have the peace in our lives? We live such a chaotic life right now. The world tells us we're so busy. We can't always accept that busyness. It is here that we need to gain, that we need to begin prayer lives, to conform our lives to Jesus Christ. And it's not when the troubles happen. It's not always when the storms begin, so that when we do face these troubles, we can trust in his rescue. Does his stability lie in the fact of our way or Jesus' way? It seems like the more we receive, the more we fail to notice, or the more we reduce our blessings to nothing more than a brilliant navigation on our own part. But the truth is this: in order for us to prepare and plan in those peaceful moments in our lives for the promise and potentiality of those storms that will occur, we must commit to transform our lives to Jesus Christ instead of trying to fold and form his word that what fits our life for that day. We must accept Jesus for who he is. Our stability is firmly dependent upon the accessibility that we allow Jesus to have in our lives, not the adaptability of Jesus into our life. Let me say that again. Our stability is firmly dependent upon the accessibility that we allow Jesus to have in our lives, not the adaptability of Jesus into our life. So we're not even in the storm yet, and we're here to face a decision. We either choose to allow Jesus Christ to lead your life at this moment, at any moment, trusting that he knows the direction that your life needs, or continue to use your relationships, to use your own reasoning, and use him as your Uber driver, and use him as your Lyft driver, telling him exactly where you think you need to go. Our decision of security actually becomes before the storm approaches. We can prepare to face it, or we can fear it. And as we read on, a fierce windstorm began to blow. All right, here we go. The development of the wind and the waves, so high they are breaking over the boat. The boat was being swamped, overcome with water. That means everyone on deck was getting saturated with seawater. It's here we'll talk about this outline. The diffidence within the eye of the storm. The diffidence within the eye of the storm. Diffidence? You spelled difference wrong. No, it's a cool word. I just found this word this week, so I thought I'd share it with you. The diffidence. Diffidence means this: is an insecurity resulting from a lack of self-confidence. Isn't that interesting? An insecurity resulting from a lack of self-confidence. Let me give you an example. My kids have heard this story. They live this story. My girls grew up playing softball at Civitan Park. You know where Civitan Park is. We've all been there. We've all endured the heat at Civitan Park. I don't think there's any place hotter during softball season than those fields, softball season. And during one time in one game, man, this storm blew up out of nowhere, a typical Tennessee thunderstorm. We're out there, it's beautiful, it's hot, and all of a sudden we see these clouds just billowing, and it's coming. And this crack of thunder hits, and you see all these little girls screaming, and they're running. And the first thing you want to do at Civitan Park is you wanted to make sure you had your table in the pavilion. I don't know if you've been there, but if you've been there, you know exactly what I mean. You wanted that table on the outside of the pavilion so that you could see the game happening and you can stay in the shade. Well, once this crack of thunder hits, these little girls are running to the pavilion. And let me tell you, it was scary. That storm came out of nowhere. I was nervous. We're trying to tackle these, not tackle, but we're trying to wrangle these little, I took one down. I didn't really. We're trying to wrangle, my daughter's going, seriously, Dad? We're trying to wrangle these young girls and they get into the pavilion and I mean, in the wind and the rain. It's raining sideways. It is raining so hard and you know, the water doesn't go anywhere except puddles on the ground. So can imagine the worst storm ever. We're in the middle of the worst place ever. It's raining sideways and the dads are blocking the water from hitting the picnic tables. You've been there, dads, where you're blocking and the wind is just hitting us, man. It's hitting us so hard. We're getting wet. There's girls under the picnic table. They're screaming, Daddy, please protect us. Help us. That's what's going on here. Is this storm. They knew, my girls knew that we would protect them. They knew exactly who to ask for in that time of need. But that storm hit, and those storms hit, and they make us so insecure that we forget about where our faith lies. And that's what's happening here. There's an insecurity in the confidence of who's in their boat. These disciples had the eye of their storm in the boat with them. They had the potential for peace. They had the calmness through the raging unknown, yet they didn't recognize it. Why is it that we remain so insecure when we have Jesus Christ in our boat? Insecurity can be crippling. And as you grow more and more insecure, it gets carried into and throughout your life, especially in times of trouble. And the insecurity becomes overconfidence that you believe you can take it on yourself. And we forget about the opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into our boat. And many of us have already done that. The ultimate solution to insecurity is to abandon our own attempts to win for our cause, but to surrender to his promises. It's in those insecure moments or our lack of faith in the midst of storms that threaten to disrupt the plans that we think we have, the plans that we think that we are known to follow through with. They sit as a low-pressure system in our relationships. That pressure lies dormant until the pressure around us begins to overcome us and begins to stalk every facet of our lives. The waves begin to crash, and they're up, and they're peaked. And these guys are fearful. But the promise of the gospel should bring us confidence in these moments. These guys have fished their whole lives. They've been through storms, just as we face dilemmas and just as we face storms in our lives. But in this moment, in this particular storm, they have to wake Jesus up. And where's Jesus? He's sleeping with his head on a cushion. And they say, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" And it's in our storms that our insecurity overcomes our confidence and our trust. And we cry out saying, "Can't you see, God, what's going on here? How can you let this happen?" How many times have we doubted his presence before? We get to the point when the storm is over. We look back and Jesus was right there in those moments. And it was us who forgot about our footing and our stance in the boat. So when the storm is over, and the waves and the winds are calmed to a perfect, peaceful quiet. We look at the last part. What are the effects of weathering your storm? What are the effects of weathering your storm? In verse 40, Jesus says this, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith and confidence in me?" And they were terrified. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This leads to one very important question to answer. When we have weathered the storm that may at times feel unstoppable and threatens to replace our dreams with extreme doubt and pain, what will your response be? Do we get caught up in naming the storms in our lives by the situation and the person who hurt us? Or do we see how Jesus Christ worked through the breaking of those waves, to get us through the times that we couldn't do it alone. The disciples fear and pretty much accuse Jesus that he had forsaken them when they had left everything to follow him. They still lacked faith, and so do we. Jesus rebuked the disciples, not for their lack of knowledge of his authority over creation, but because of their fear. Happiness in life, joy in life, is not contingent on whether our situations are good or bad, but it's knowing and trusting that Jesus Christ is present, and Jesus Christ is the I. Fear and faith cannot sit in the same pew on Sunday mornings. They're mutually exclusive, meaning fear will say, look, I can't do this. You don't know where I've been, the decisions that I make, or where I'm at in life. I just can't do it. These waves that I have to face, you don't understand. They're way too big. And faith says, I can do this with Jesus Christ as my rock. Even though we as believers have the Holy Spirit living inside us, our faith must still be practiced, must still be exercised in order to grow. We must endure our storms to increase our trust in Jesus Christ. This means that when our hearts become, as Isaiah 57:20 comes, like the tossing sea, which cannot be quiet, we need to find God and peace that surpasses all understanding. Replace the fear with an absolute trust in Jesus Christ. After the disciples woke Jesus up, he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves with a single command, hush, be still. He addressed the wind as we would address an unruly child sitting in church or school. With a single command, the bantering of the wind would be stifled. The size of the waves would be no more, and the sea would have perfect peace. Can you picture that? Can you understand the things in your life that you're facing? The unknowns in your life, the decisions that you've not made for him, that all goes away. It's perfect peace. And here's the thing. This great calming of the storm was not initiated by prayer, but it was through the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. Hush and be still. A miracle invited the disciples to not only Jesus' power, but he was revealing himself as God. And there'll be all sorts of storms in your life that you'll meet that need weathered. And you're not always going to watch the Weather Channel to know when and where and how severe and what name that you'll give it. It will appear unannounced, and it's never welcomed. And when the winds and the waves of difficulty threaten to drown your smooth sailing day, the question is, who will you turn to alleviate those gusts of wind? In this question, are you trusting that the peace that Jesus provides is the peace that you are truly seeking? I want you to hear that question again. Are you trusting that the peace that Jesus provides for each of us is the peace that you are truly seeking? No matter what happens to us as we walk on this earth in our lives, we must not forget that no matter how intense that our suffering becomes, it will never compare to the love of Christ that we will receive in heaven. Who do you think Jesus is? Are you taking Jesus just as he is? God loves to bring his children to the point where we can go nowhere else but to ask for help from him. The Lord knows that in our desperation, we will cry out. But too many times, we wait until that we've used up our human views and resolutions. And when they finally don't work, we call upon Jesus. Preparation in life comes before the storm. You don't board up the windows during the wind and the rain. You do it before it hits. Allow Jesus to be in the midst of your calm, and then be prepared to seek him in the midst of your storm. But before you get to those waves crashing over your boat, it is now that we need to say, Jesus, I need you in my peace. I need to truly seek the peace that you have for my life. Not the peace that everybody else wants for me, but the peace that you want for my life. He's ready, and he is willing, and he is more than able. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it is through those times that we look back and we know that even during those tough times, you brought us through. But it's those moments that seem to overcome and overtake us. Lord, I pray that today is a day that there's a life surrendering to you. That we're tired, that someone is tired of using up their own resolutions, and then they surrender their life to you. And I pray we as believers realize, Lord, that we just can't cry out for help in the times that we have storms. That it's in those times that life is going okay that we give you the glory. That while you're in our boat, you navigate our life. Let us never forget that, Lord. Father, thank you for truth. And thank you for illuminating new things that happen in Scripture. Father, illuminating things that we've not yet read how you want us to see it. Father, open our hearts that we become conformed to you, not adapt you into our lives. Father, I pray today that if someone is in need of prayer, that is recognized today. That we have the boldness to bring them forward and to pray with them. And I pray today, Lord, if someone is here who not yet has a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, that you step them out into the aisle and you walk with them and you guide them. Father, I fear that sometimes we walk out of here not knowing or wondering, what if I'd have made that decision? Allow us not to leave here, Lord, wondering, but knowing. Father, thank you for a church that loves your word. Thank you for a church that's so committed to following your word. We thank you. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship. If today is a day that you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, please walk out and walk up. Happy to receive you and pray with you. If today is a day you just need prayer, let somebody pray with you. If today is a day that you want to join Shiloh Baptist Church and become part of a wonderful family, come forward today.